Words, words, words. Proverbs is full of them. I suppose I should have done some statistical calculations and worked out just how many words there are in the book of Proverbs. But I'm not really into trivia, and I suppose I would just bore you. But this we can say about the words that we find in the book of Proverbs. They have been well chosen, carefully written words of wisdom. They indeed speak much about words and the misuse of words, the hasty use of words, the ill use of words. We could draw up a whole list of verses from the book of Proverbs that address gossips, liars, slanderers, and that synonym for fool, the mocker. Yes, indeed, Proverbs has a lot to say with words about words. And one of the things that it has to say, to use the language of Ecclesiastes, there is a time to keep silence as well as a time to speak. And that, I think, is an appropriate place to begin in our brief study on this topic this evening. There is a time to keep silence as well as a time to speak. Speaking too much and with little thought is definitely frowned upon by the compiler of this book of Proverbs. We could sum it up by saying, quality, not quantity, is his concern. In Proverbs chapter 10 and in verse 19, we read, "When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent." Indeed, Proverbs 15 and verse 7 says essentially the same thing in a very bold sort of a way. "The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools." You can speak a lot, but is it worth hearing? The more you say, the more chance there is that you will say something you will later regret. Luke reminds us in chapter 6 and verse 14 that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It therefore shouldn't really surprise us that an abundance of words spoken will sooner or later demonstrate what is hidden in the heart. And so in Proverbs 17 and verses 27 and 28, the writer says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." There's a time to keep silence, and perhaps that time comes more often than you at first think. Perhaps it is true that given the nature of our hearts, and that the mouth discloses the contents of our hearts, we ought to keep quiet a lot more frequently than we do. Proverbs presents at least three reasons why this is a good idea. In chapter 13 and verse 3, we're told, "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life." He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. It's a good thing to keep quiet and not be in the habit of speaking your mind whenever your mind happens to function. Saying anything, having to perhaps excuse yourself, "Oh, I was just thinking aloud." Why? Well, because those words that you speak could end up in ruining your life. Guarding the mouth preserves life. This is self-preservation. But there's another reason that Proverbs gives for keeping silence. In chapter 12 and verse 23, we're told that a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. It's not that the prudent man is hiding something, but rather that he waits to know all the facts before speaking, whereas the fool just proclaims everything and anything that he happens to know. And so you see, wisdom in keeping silence will preserve others as well. Which is highlighted further in chapter 17 and verse 9, where we read, "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends." Here is a person who's always ready to tell a tale, regardless of the consequences. But the New Testament reminds us that love covers a multitude of sins. It's not, you see, that the person in Proverbs 17 and verse 9 is telling lies. He may well be telling the truth, but does this truth need to be told? Is it going to bring healing or hurt? Is it going to bring reconciliation or separation? Is it going to do good or harm? You see, in the end, we have to weigh up all that we say on the basis of the outcome. Is it going to be profitable? Is it going to preserve life, my life, or the life of another? Or is it going to harm and destroy? There is a time to keep silence. Yes, we keep silence when we're tempted to lie. We keep silence when we're tempted to gossip. Certainly, but there are times when we should keep silence when we're tempted to speak the truth. But when the truth will not help, but bring harm. And so, the book of Proverbs, I guess, essentially tells us that we need to not look before you leap, but think before you speak. Weigh up the value of the words that you are about to utter. And so that leads us to three lessons, if you like, with regard to speaking, that can be summed up in this way. When you do speak, speak well. When you do speak, speak well. And these are the three areas or ways in which we ought to speak well. We ought to speak well in what we say. We ought to speak well in the way we say it. And we ought to speak well when we say it. In terms of when we say it. The content of what we say, the delivery of what we say, and the timing of what we say. Here's what Proverbs has to say about that first aspect, the content. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 is our key text here. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. The second clause there is not easy to understand in terms of its import, but the first is quite straightforward. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you say will affect other people and or yourself. The words that you speak have the power of death and life, to do good or to do ill, to hurt or to heal. So what you say needs to be thought over carefully. The words need to be carefully chosen. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. Not that the lips of the wise speak all kinds of true trivia. No, these are words of wisdom. These are words of purpose. These are words of profit. These are words of usefulness. Not just truth, but truth that has application. Truth that, moreover, we would see as being founded upon the basis of wisdom, which is the fear of the Lord. It's the knowledge of the Lord, then, that ultimately are the best words that should be spoken. In chapter 10 and verses 20 and 21, we're told, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. The words that a righteous man speaks bring riches and health. Quite literally, that would be the case if we understand the book of Proverbs aright. I mean, these are practical observations that a father is giving to his son to navigate life. And we've already observed that time and time and time again, wisdom produces riches and health. And this is essentially what this proverb is saying. But we've also observed that the book of Proverbs is a theological book. And not just a practical book. It's not just talking about the here and now. It's not just talking about how to ensure that you have a good bank balance and a healthy lifestyle. That you're successful in this world's terms, though the application of the principles of the book of Proverbs will often lead in that direction. No, there's a theological underpinning to this book that causes us to look beyond the here and now to the eternal. And to understand that the wealth that is spoken of in this book and the health that is referred to in this book is eternal. Not physical and temporal, but spiritual. And so, the tongue of the righteous enriches our souls. The lips of the righteous feeds our hearts and nourishes us in our relationship with God. That then ought to be the theme of those who would speak well. But that's not to say that there's not a lot of good things that we can say in practical terms for living in this world, and we ought to say them. But it is to say that we ought to, at least if we are Christians, have as a focus in the words that we say an eye to eternity and not just to our temporal existence. We will speak the truth, you see, and a truth that acknowledges that this life is fleeting, a truth that recognizes that this world, this existence of ours is but a moment of time in eternity. Proverbs says that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. And ultimately, the best and most faithful way that you can act is to live in the light of eternity. Not giving people the impression that the 70 years allotted to you in this world are all you're going to get. And so the content of what we say will be saturated with the truth of God and of an eternal perspective. When you speak, speak well in what you say. But the second thing the Proverbs has to say to us is that we need to speak well in the way that we say it. Not just in what we say, but in the way that we say it. In other words, the delivery of the words. Proverbs 12 and verse 18 is helpful to us here. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The idea here, of course, as is in so many of the Proverbs, is one of contrast. Rash words are like something that destroys, that maims, even kills. Whereas the wise seeks to heal, to bind up, to restore to health. That's the aim. And while the words that are chosen, in terms of their content, need to be right, the manner of delivery also needs to be right. Chapter 15 and verse 1, we're told that a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, the answer is obviously conveying the truth, and the harsh word is also conveying the truth. It's not the content that is being addressed here, it's the manner of delivery that is being addressed. And so, verse 4 of the same chapter, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A person then who wants to speak well chooses his words carefully and delivers them sympathetically. Chapter 16 and verse 21 tells us the wise of heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. John Crotts, in his book Craftsman, which looks at various proverbs and applies them particularly to the life of a husband and father in the home, speaking to this particular issue, says, as the great theologian Mary Poppins said, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Lasting benefits of wise counsel, he says, are sometimes lost simply because of the manner in which the advice was given. Like medicine refused because it tastes so bad, some great counsel is refused because of the taste to the ears. The prudent person carefully considers what to say and the sweetest way to put it. What good are your words when no one will listen? Are your words more like honey or castor oil? The appeal of your advice will be directly proportional to the careful craftsmanship of your speech. And so he advises that it's not just what we say that we need to be careful about, but also the way that we say it. And then in the third place, in order to speak well, we need to time our speaking well. Proverbs 25 and verses 11 and 12. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Well, sometimes you don't have the listening ear. Well, there's no point speaking, is there? At times, for all the wisdom you may have to offer someone, you first have to build up a relationship of trust. Sometimes the context simply isn't right. And it's better to wait until perhaps the initial heat of the situation has dissipated before you speak into the life of another. Timing is important. And a word fitly spoken then is pictured for us as this delicately crafted piece of jewelry, apples of gold in a setting of silver. It's taken time and care and diligence to create this beautiful ornament. And so too it can be with the words that we speak, in content, in manner of delivery, but also in the timing. Sometimes we simply have to hold back and be patient until the best opportunity arises to be able to convey the truth that needs to be spoken. Proverbs has a lot to say about hasty words being spoken, and it's always, always related to the language of the fool. We need to use wise words, carefully chosen, delivered well at the right time. The heart of the righteous, Proverbs 15 and verse 28 tells us, ponders how to answer. But the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. And so, in conclusion, though there is certainly much, much more that we could say on this topic, a wise man knows that there is a time to keep silent and a time to speak. Yes, there is a time to speak. And a wise man, therefore, is careful to speak well when he speaks. To speak healthy, profitable, wise words. In a kind, sympathetic way, at the appropriate time. But a wise man also knows how to listen. We could look at Proverbs that speak about waiting to hear the full message before giving a response. How often do you find yourself already in your mind thinking of your answer to a person before they've even finished speaking the sentence? How many of you who are parents have responded to your children before you've heard the full explanation for their behaviour? And how regretful we are when we discover that our haste has meant an unjust response. No, you see, a wise man knows how to listen as well as how to speak. He knows how to receive counsel. We've already considered that under other topics in our studies in Proverbs. But a wise man listens to the counsel of others and weighs that up and learns from it. That indeed is how he has grown in wisdom, so that he himself has something wise to say. But most importantly, a wise man knows the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. A wise man is in a right relationship with the living God. In other words, a wise man knows how to listen to the fount of wisdom and draw from that fount wise words to share with others and wise lessons to apply to his own life. Jesus is the one who, first and foremost, we must listen to. Indeed, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus and a close group of his disciples ascended onto that mount and met with Moses and Elijah and also with God the Father, we find Peter being the somewhat typical at that stage in his life example of a fool in his speech. Words come gushing out without any real purpose or planning to them. He doesn't really know what to say, but he feels he must say something, so he does. But then a voice comes from heaven. A cloud overshadowed them. And the voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Stop your talking. Stop your planning. Stop gushing forth folly. Listen to him." For it is when we listen to Jesus Christ and when we live by the words of Jesus Christ that we will have anything worthwhile to say to others, and we will have learned the way in which we should say it, and we will have discovered something about the best timing for saying it. So may the Lord help us that in our words we may not hurt but heal, for the glory of God and the good of his people.